Free. Now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB Talk Radio.
And here are the top news stories we're bringing you this morning. According to AAA, the average cost for a gallon of unleaded regular is about 25 cents more per gallon than it was this time last year, and the national average price could reach as high as $2.70 per gallon this spring. The Florida State Senate passes an $88.7 billion budget for the upcoming fiscal year. The budget included millions of dollars for new school safety measures and sales tax holidays. Florida Governor Rick Scott signs education bills that include no free speech zones and tighter rules on teachers' unions. And the National Rifle Association has filed a federal lawsuit to block the new Florida gun bill that raises the minimum age to buy rifles from 18 to 21. The NRA says it's unconstitutional.
Contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM. Call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at WBOB.com.
3 minutes after the hour. Good morning. Hour number two. Ed Dean here Monday morning on Talk Radio WBOB along with Roger Henderson. Those of you on hold, we're going to get to your calls in just a moment at 222-TALK, 222-8255. One of the big news stories this morning, the NRA, the National Rifle Association, has come out over the weekend and says they plan on suing Governor Rick Scott and the other, well, it's pretty much the state of Florida, to block a gun bill that raises the minimum age to buy rifles from 18 to 21. We're asking you the question, and this is the question we ask on this radio show. It's your point, that your opinion that counts. What is unconstitutional about raising the age from 18 to 21? Before we get to the phones, here is the quick clip from News 4 Jack Scott Johnson on the very bill the NRA suing Florida.
Within 3 hours of Governor Scott signing gun control legislation on Friday, we learned the National Rifle Association was suing the state. The NRA is arguing a very specific portion of this bill is wrong in their eyes because it raises the minimum age to buy rifles from 18 to 21. Banning long rifles like the AR-15 is not common nationwide. Very few states do it, and if this heads to the Supreme Court, Florida's law could really impact the country. And the bill fell short of an all-out assault weapons ban like some of the victims of the mass shooting in South Florida were calling for. It's to move pretty quickly, not thinking it will take the federal judge too long to make any sort of ruling. I met up with Rod Sullivan, a former constitutional law professor, who says the district court judge on this case is more liberal in his rulings and could favor the state. But the NRA will probably fight this case to the end.
Now, this is, again, a story. We have so many other stories out there, but this has been a big national story over the weekend. The NRA is suing the state of Florida. They say it's unconstitutional to raise the minimum age from 18 to 21. Question we're asking you this morning, what's unconstitutional about that? 222-TALK, 222-8255. James, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Ed.
Hey, good morning.
Real quick, I was thinking about this already, and I do think it's unconstitutional. And the reason being, as far as the Constitution is concerned, rights in the Constitution and the amendments, 18 is the age of an adult. If we were talking about the First Amendment and somebody said, hey, let's raise the age of the First Amendment to 21, it would be a way bigger story. So just because it's the Second Amendment, what makes an 18-year-old adult different than a 21-year-old adult? And I know 21 is the age for handguns. That's understandable. That means an 18-year-old adult can still buy a firearm, a long gun, to protect themselves and their families. There are 18-year-olds that are married or have kids living on their own, productive members of society, but now they can no longer purchase any sort of firearm for protection. And I do think that, if we're going to go the route and say, okay, well, 21's now the age of an adult, then we need to look at the voting age, everything. Like your previous caller said, shouldn't everything should be across the board the same?
Now, that is James brings up a very interesting point. According to the 26th Amendment, regardless of state laws, it is the age of which one becomes a legal adult and gains full legal rights. But that was added with the 26th Amendment when it came to the right to vote. Originally, the right to vote was not in the Constitution. So because of what James just said, should that make everything else, for example, at the age of 18 to buy a gun? James, there could be some legal precedence for that, maybe.
Exactly, and that's what I was saying. You know, and I know they say, okay, we got to be 21 to drink alcohol. I understand that that's not a constitutional protected right. You know, like the Second Amendment with you know, being able to keep and bear arms. So that's kind of where I was thinking that it's going to go. But you know, I do think that this is going to end up going all the way up to the Supreme Court. I mean, I don't think it's going to be a quick process. It may be quickly ruled on here in the state, but I do think it's going to go all the way up.
What a valid point, James. Thank you for calling in. I want to ask that of other people. Now, should there be an age of 21? Is that deemed constitutional? I mean, 18 to 21. He brings up a valid point. If you want to look at maybe legal precedents, you want to go in a court of law, the 26th Amendment says full legal status for the vote is age 18. Now, should that be the automatic age for those to own a gun? I mean, there really wasn't an age to own a gun whatsoever. But what the Constitution is quiet on, now remember, James point out, which is a kind of interesting point, to vote the age for marriage. By the way, marriage is not a right, it's a privilege. Some states may claim it, you know, the consent of marriage, whatever. some people think it's a right. But having said that, that is for the age of voting. But the Constitution is very quiet on what the age to buy a gun. Should that be left to the states? Wherever the Constitution is quiet on.
The Constitution is also quiet on the age to drink alcohol, which is 21.
That's a privilege, not a right.
It's in the 21st Amendment that you have a right to get drunk.
Really?
Well, it isn't. It's not worded that way, but it's an intoxicating liquor. You have a right to have it under the 21st Amendment.
But the Constitution doesn't say what the age of is. Can you join the military? What the age in the Constitution?
Yeah, that's not in the Constitution.
I mean, so the question is, where do you draw the line? What is the age? Should the age be set and left to the states? Or as our last caller, I thought, made a very valid point about whether or not, since it's 18, the kind of maybe that allows you to raise the age. Here's another thing that was stuck in this gun bill. This gun bill, you have to have 12 hours of diversity training. Listen to this, what Tucker Carlson brings up. Incredible. The 120 hours that if a teacher wants to be able to teach, and then also, if the school allowed them to own a gun, the question is, should you have to have sensitivity training or diversity training? Listen to what's stuck in this bill here that Governor Rick Scott signed into law.
Well, Florida's Republican-controlled legislature just passed a battery of new gun control laws. The specific law raises the minimum age for buying a gun in the state to 21. It imposes a minimum 3-day waiting period and bans bump stocks. It also creates a school for arming employees, but requires them to complete at least 12 hours of diversity training. Tell me why it contains 12 hours of mandatory diversity training. How would that stop mass shootings? But let me just re-ask my question. How would that prevent future mass shootings, which is, I thought, the point of this?
Florida Democrat State Representative Scott David Richardson was asked this very question, but I don't know if he really answered the question.
Well, I think the diversity training was added because it would give everyone an opportunity to understand different communities and their needs and the diversity. So I know that there was a lot of concern from the communities of color about putting guns in schools and the stand your ground laws here in the state of Florida. And so they felt like it would be beneficial to have diversity training.
By the way, you do know that stand your ground, which has been deemed constitutional here in Florida, according to the court reports, which we have covered on this show, 35 to 40% that have used stand your ground have been those in the black community. Why does this become a race issue when it comes to those of gun bills? I mean, there's a story we talked about a few moments ago with this Public Safety Act that Governor Rick Scott signed into law, that some of the news reports come out this morning that civil rights groups and some Democrat lawmakers say that this could have deadly unintended consequences for students of color, and that this has to do with the Guardian program that allows personnel who meet certain criteria to carry firearms in schools, and somehow black kids could be a target of this. It doesn't make sense. The majority of those schools that have been shot up have been those in predominantly white communities, Roger.
Shot up by these lone wolf shooters. Yeah. However, they're concerned, as I understand the clips, about arming school employees, not teachers necessarily, but maybe the school cafeteria worker, the custodial worker, whoever it may be. And then there is a legitimate concern amongst many in the black community that black, particularly male students, can end up being on the receiving end.
How? If there's a mass shooting going on, how?
If they're armed already and a fight breaks out, for example, and you know, fists start flying. And
call a resource officer.
And what if they don't? That's
what they're concerned about. What if the gun's in a lockbox? In a safe? You call a resource officer. I mean, my first inclination, I think you would call the assistant principal. You call somebody to come over to help you out.
Right. Well, currently they'll just break it up, you know, by, you know, just brute force.
Okay, but that's part of your gun training. How is this being lumped in with sensitivity training?
Well,
I'm sorry. Not called sensitivity. Diversity training.
Diversity training.
So does that mean that we pull a gun if we have to? I mean, well, if it's a bunch of white kids, we pull out the gun. But those in the black community, no, we don't pull out the gun. It doesn't make sense.
I don't know. I think these people are probably concerned. The emotions are high. There's a situation going on. There could be black students getting
shot. Something's high. Let's go to David. David, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning, Ed. About the NRA, about suing for and raising the age to 21, in order to do that, they'd have to raise the age of majority 18 declared in law, where minors cease to be considered children. And that does not correspond to mental or physical maturity. And I think that's what the IRA is looking at there, is it's based on physical and mental maturity of someone from 18 to 21. And if that's the case, if they do change it to 21, then those that are 21 and below will be considered minors instead of from 18 and below.
All right, I'm trying to follow you on this. Let me ask you this. If you're saying this is, there's inconsistency with the ages, I think a lot of people would agree with you. Is that, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, and forgive me if I am doing that. Is that what you're saying?
Well, law itself is the age of maturity in law is 18 years old.
Correct.
Okay. And if you move it, I'm just saying if they decide where all this is going to move it to 21, therefore, instead of 18 and below being minors, it would be 21 and below.
You know, David, let me ask you a question. Now, owning a gun and freedom of speech and voting is a right. But, I mean, let me try to put a sideline question here. If the alcohol age is 21, do you think there's a valid, and again, I'm just asking a hypothetical here, and so forgive me if I'm putting you on the spot, is it a rightful hypothetical to sit back and say, well, hey, you know what, if the federal government says that I can vote at age 18, why can't I drink at age 18? Do I have a valid argument for a lawsuit to lower the drinking age from 21 to 18? Could that be made valid?
Well, if it's on the alcohol issue, was that determined on mental or physical maturity?
Ah, that's another valid point you make.
See, that's my point right there. That's what they're trying to mingle the two, and I believe that's what the NRA is going to fight against.
That is, you know what, David, you almost sound like a lawyer, my friend. That's kind of interesting. Here's another, and thank you for the point. Here's another question. You can turn people away from buying a gun if you think that there's something there. The company can do that. You can go buy it at another store. By the way, I know that drinking is not a right, but they cannot sell you alcohol, you know, and so I'm just saying there's just certain things that there's some discrepancies there. More as we continue to move along, 222-TALK, 222-8255. This is Talk Radio, WBOB.
Heading into downtown on I-10, there's an accident at around McDuff Avenue. It's on the right, and if you're in St. John's County going north at 95, look out for something in the middle of the highway at mile marker 320 that you need to avoid. Traffic being brought to us this morning by Snyder Heating and Air Conditioning. Cloudy, cooler, and breezy today. 64 will be our high. Clearer this evening with an overnight low of 41, and right now it's 62 at WBOB.
Back to the Ed Dean Radio Show. Gallagher next, Prager at noon, Savage at 3, Levin at 6. Talk Radio, WBOB.
And here are the top news stories we're bringing you this morning. The Florida State Senate passes an $88.7 billion budget for the upcoming fiscal year. The budget included millions of dollars for new school safety measures and sales tax holidays. Governor Rick Scott signs education bills that include no free speech zones and tighter rules on teachers' unions. The National Rifle Association has filed a federal lawsuit to block the new Florida gun bill that raises the minimum age to buy rifles from 18 to 21. The NRA says it's unconstitutional. And according to AAA, the average cost of a gallon of unleaded regular is about 20 cents more than this time last year, and the national average price could reach as high as $2.70 per gallon by this spring.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email Ed at WBOB.com.
Don't forget to download the app. Go to WBOB.com, WBOB.com. Listen to the show anywhere you would like. Read our bios also online. Again, go to WBOB.com. Some of the questions we have on the table: the state of Florida is going to be sued by the National Rifle Association. They say that it's unconstitutional to raise the age from 18 to 21. Some people made a very valid point, but is it unconstitutional for a gun law by a state, because the Constitution is very quiet on some of the gun measures? Should it be left to the states if they want to raise the age of 18 to 21? So that's another question we have out there as well, and some of the economic policies also. Governor Rick Scott signs into law an education bill that would put tighter rules on teachers' unions. In other words, decertification. If a teachers' union does not have 50% support of their members to endorse a candidate or pay teachers' dues, should this have to be more money from a teacher locally here coming out of their back pocket? And does this show that if you want to get more things done in an area, whether you agree or disagree with unions or teachers' unions, Roger, some things can be done much more on a state level, because it doesn't seem that any of the Republicans that always clamber down against unions do anything on a federal level when it comes to unions?
I think the consequence of the law that the governor signed into law that requires...
Yeah, it's going to have a massive effect, you think?
I think it's going to make the teachers pay the dues and then end up growing their financial base as well.
Explain,
as
why would you say that?
Well, right now...
I don't know, that's why I'm asking.
They could be decertified, although they will be decertified now,
right,
if at least 50% of the teachers are not paying their dues.
Right.
This is, I think, a lot of teachers are just trying to save a buck and we're
skipping out of their dough. That's a valid point. You know what? They can go out and they've done some emails. They've done some mailings. I understand where you're coming from. Will this be used as a scare tactic by the Teachers Association to tell members, guys, the state of Florida is coming after us. Governor Rick Scott's anti-teacher. The Republicans are anti-teacher. We need the unionized. Does it make it much stronger? That is a very valid point.
It's going to strengthen their financial base of the unions, I believe.
Elizabeth Warren, the very, very liberal senator from the state of Massachusetts, was on with Fox News. God, I can't believe she was on Fox News yesterday. Asked being the question by John Roberts, number one, are you going to run for president? Number two, with your American Native history that you claim that you have, will you take a DNA test?
A moment here, if you would. There are many people who are saying, should you choose to run in 2020? And one of these groups is the Berkshire Eagle, Massachusetts newspaper that endorsed you in 2012, that the issue of your ancestry will come up. And they're suggesting that you put it to rest, saying, quote, that Elizabeth Warren should screw up her courage and take the spit test. A DNA test, that a positive test would permanently resolve the issue while possibly shutting down President Trump. Would you be willing to take a DNA test to put this issue to rest?
Are you ready for her response or lack of response? Here was that clip right there. Elizabeth Warren, will you be the judge?
I am not running for president in 2020. I know who I am because of what my mother and my father told me, what my
just to remind everybody, he asked the question. And by the way, I haven't seen CNN, MSNBC ask her this question. The question is, will you, very specific, to the point, but you don't get the answer correct. Will you take a DNA test? This, again, was her response.
I know who I am because of what my mother and my father told me, what my grandmother and my grandfather told me, what all my aunts and uncles told me, and my brothers. It's a part of who I am. And no one's ever going to take that away.
You know, as I said before, I know a lot of kids that were told they were bright and brilliant by their parents. When you get a conversation with them, no way are they need to take an IQ test.
This reminds me of the lady in Seattle who claimed to be black, who was running the NAACP chapter,
right,
out there. I don't think Elizabeth Warren's Native American. Or she'd take the DNA test.
Why not? Yeah, some have been emailing me this morning that maybe she privately did. Well, if she privately did and you know the results that she was, even 30, 40% Cherokee, she'd be out there bragging about it.
Yeah.
He, by the way, to your point about the Rachel Dozier, who was the... She and whether I don't know whether she put on certain lotion. I know that was a big debate. I don't give a flip what she did. If she wanted to help out the NAACP, now she claimed to be black. I don't know not whether or not she used it for benefits or privileges. I don't know. I don't really care. But you know, if she did a lot for those for the NAACP and the black community. Mm-hmm. Why deny her all that?
I fully agree with you. In fact, that has been pretty much the history of these black movements. They've welcomed, laid out the Welcome Act, people of all races, to help the cause. So why she was attacked in the way she was, I don't know.
And yeah, I mean, kind of curious about that. The news media, with amongst themselves, were high-fiving each other the other evening, giving each other credit and going after Trump and kind of inserting certain things against you out there or... You know, conservatives out there that listen to the show about that it's more dangerous than ever to become a journalist. This all pretty much included the Media Awards Banquet for the 28th TV radio called the First Amendment Awards. Here are some of the news journalists, Doug Shelby, and of course from Meet the Press, NBC, Chuck Todd, by saying, now with Trump, it's more dangerous than ever to be a reporter.
In our nation's capital, during which we can find safe haven from cries of fake news, an enemy of the American people. Never in our nation's modern history has it been more dangerous to be a journalist. So toxic is today's environment that newsrooms have had to drastically increase security. Some news organizations have felt it necessary to send their crews into the field with armed security guards.
Now, I'm just kind of curious, have they been threatened? I mean, armed security guards, have they been threatened by, I don't know, conservatives there? Maybe they get yelled at when they go along and hang out with Donald Trump. I'm just kind of curious, what are these armed security?
None of tonight's honorees and no one else in this room is a purveyor of fake news, and no one in this room is an enemy of the American people.
No, I'm not calling the news media the enemy of the American people. When it comes to fake news, that's been heavy. There have been more retractions on newspapers and on TV than any of the president we've seen with the first time around with Donald Trump. 222-TALK, 222-8255, Talk Radio, WBOB.
Heading into town on I-10 this morning, look out for a crash at around McDuff Avenue. We are seeing traffic build in that area. Traffic brought to you by J. David Tax Law. When you owe the IRS and can't pay, go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call.
Dennis Prager at noon, the Savage Nation at 3, Mark Levin at 6. Right now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM. Talk Radio, WBOB.
And here are the top news stories we're bringing you this morning. Florida Governor Rick Scott signs education bills that include no free speech zones and tighter rules on teachers' unions. The National Rifle Association has filed a federal lawsuit to block the new Florida gun bill that raises the minimum age to buy rifles from 18 to 21. The NRA says it's unconstitutional. According to AAA, the average cost of a gallon of unleaded regular is about 25 cents more than this time last year, and the national average price could reach as high as $2.70 per gallon this spring. The Florida State Senate passes an $88.7 billion budget for the upcoming fiscal year. The budget included millions of dollars for new school safety measures and sales tax holidays.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
32 minutes after the hour. Good morning, Ed Dean, along with Roger Henderson right here on Talk Radio WBOB. So a lot of legislative priorities have been really under the radar ever since, which took place almost 4 weeks ago with the Parkland shooting. The issues of gun bills are here and, of course, education bills. And education bills dealing with teachers' unions, Governor Rick Scott has signed into law, but that's kind of somewhat been overshadowed by arming school teachers. But there are a lot of measures out there that have not been talked about that could affect your back pocket and things that have not been discussed. Here on our newsmaker line, he's the chief financial officer, the CFO here in the state of Florida, Jimmy P. Jimmy Patronis, the website, myfloridacfo.com. You have talked about that some of the things to make Floridians protect themselves from fraud. It's amazing that nobody ever focuses on fraud. I mean, you know, Jimmy Patronis, our sheriff's departments throughout the state of Florida have said that the number one issue that not only hits those of senior citizens, also maybe of illegal aliens, but identity theft, which is fraud, is a big issue. No one seems to ever be concerned about this issue.
You know, and thanks for having me. Great to be with you. But you're exactly 100% right. You know, now Congress is, I hate to say they're following our lead, but I think they realized we were onto something this past legislative session. Congress is looking up and doing the exact same thing we just did in Florida and removing the freeze fee from our citizens.
Yeah, talk to me what that is and tell the audience.
Sure. So currently right now under Florida law and also about, I guess, 40 other states, your credit gets violated, whether it's the fault of Target or Uber or Equifax and one of these large data breaches, then all your information is in the public domain. You've got the ability to freeze your credit to protect it so nobody can access it in order to water down or corrupt your credit rating or take advantage of that information to expand credit. So right now under Florida law, the current status quo was you had to call the credit rating agencies and ask them to freeze my credit. Well, they charge a fee to do that. We basically, the law that we passed that I'm assuming the governor will sign, I'm sure he will, that will actually remove the freeze fee. It will just eliminate this extra burden, this extra frustration. But, you know, there's other good things that came along with this. The fact that we brought it to light and we turned up the volume on it, it brings out innovation in the credit rating agencies where they're going to make it easier for you to do this. You know, in some cases, as simple as an app on your phone.
Why did it have to take, I mean, you have these measures out there that you disguise. You try to sit back and without trying to pass so much legislation to dictate some of the policies of what these companies do, why did you have to, was it like kicking and dragging them, bringing them to the table about, hey guys, why are you charging consumers all these extra fees here?
So I think a lot of it is related similar to bouncing a check or something. Or not bouncing, I'm sorry, losing your checkbook. The bank then has to keep up. So I think the bank, in order to discourage it, probably, you know, puts this, you know, well, once you keep up your checks, but if you have to cancel a check, you know, we're going to probably have to charge you a fee to do it because there's some burden going along with this. But that's typically the consumer's fault. In this particular case, we've got data breaches that have affected millions of people, and it was not their fault. Well, I don't think it's right to charge people for something they had nothing to do with. You know, so this is I think where the environment allowed it to happen. But you know, the credit rating agencies, actually, to their credit, they've been outstanding to work with through this process and have been really cooperative to help us get what we need, because both bills passed unanimously out of the House and Senate.
Here on our Newsmaker line, he's the CFO, the Chief Financial Officer here in the state of Florida. Jimmy Patronis, the website for further information on what the CFO does. And there's a lot of interesting things what the CFO does. It's not really discussed. Go to myfloridacfo.com. You know, here's an interesting question. It's kind of like, you know, Jimmy P. I always love calling him Jimmy P because it's just so easy. You know, but he was a very well-known state rep, and he's got his restaurants and everything else. But Jimmy Patronis, for example, it's like when we have, I think tomorrow, the Commissioner of Agriculture, Adam Putnam, will be on. He comes on several times with us. It's many people don't realize, you know, guns, you know, you're a big Second Amendment guy. You know, guns is a big issue. Many people don't realize that the Department of Agriculture here in the state of Florida, like federally, they're the ones that oversee the SNAP and welfare programs. People don't realize that. Here in the state of Florida, that the Department of Agriculture oversees the gun issuing permits for concealed weapons permit. Give me, besides instead of being maybe the fire marshal, give me an area that when you talk to people that the CFO, your office oversees that is sexy, that people never realize that you guys oversaw.
Well, I mean, there's a number. So when they consolidated the cabinet and they made the CFO's position a combination of three different posts, there's a number of things. We regulate insurance bills, insurance agents. I pay every bill. I've got 300 sworn law enforcement that investigate insurance fraud and workers' comp fraud. Both those guys, especially insurance fraud guys, they go out to ensure your insurance rates are low. But one of the best things, I think one of our two secrets we got, I don't think, you know, we let the folks know enough. We've got a toll-free 800 helpline, 1-877-MY-FLCFO. If you call that with insurance questions or problems, we will help you fix them. And since July 1, just by the calls we've received, we've put over $17 million more into the policyholder's pocket without hiring any outside help. So, I mean, we're there to help. We're here to help you navigate. We'll help to get you your money you deserve. So, you know, that's one. And the others are unclaimed property. If you'll go to fltreasurehunt.org.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like digging in a treasure trove. And I promise you, if you will take 10 minutes out of your day, not even that, 5 minutes out of your day to go put all the information in and hit search, it's about three fields. If you don't have something in our treasure trove, I bet you a member of your family does.
Yeah, if you want, if there's any unclaimed property out there, you can go to the website. Here's the problem. I'm still digging for that treasure, and I keep coming up empty every time I go to that website.
Well, you know what? You know what? That's a tribute to you of putting all your information on all your documents properly. It's those guys that, you know, have a, they miss a letter or a consonant or a part of their street address and ends up in our hands because the account got set up wrong. So, you know, you're just a good steward, man. That's what it is.
Here's an interesting question. Insurance fraud, I've always found very fascinating, you know, to be like with the investigators. When it comes to, like, hurricane, after we saw with Hurricane Irma,
mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes, I mean, how do you, I mean, let's be honest here. There's no way you even have enough manpower to go out and investigate insurance fraud. Is this something that you guys sit back and go, okay, we have to take each case by case? Or do you sit back and just say, you know, months later, we're still overwhelmed to find out if there's insurance fraud? How do you determine that after a major hurricane like Irma hit the state of Florida?
So since July 1, we've made over 400 insurance fraud related prosecutions in the state of Florida. So what we'll do is, like, right after Irma, before Irma, we turned up the volume, scaring people. Right after Irma, we turned up the volume, scaring people, whether it be social media, you know, getting on your stations, local television networks, you know, educating folks of those challenges of what they may have to deal with after the storm. Because then we warn them about the fraudsters that will get between them.
Right.
And the insurance policy. So that helps. And then we'll put boots on the ground. Now, the other thing that happens is the insurance companies, they really ramp up all their personnel. So there's more bodies available for the claims process right after storm than any other natural disaster. So these guys are being prepared because they know that the better the communication is between them and the policyholder, the more likely is they have a happy policyholder that doesn't go try to shop insurance somewhere else. So those guys, it is a very competitive market. Those agents are paid on commissions. They like maintaining their relationships with their customers. So the system really, it swells during those times. And then again, we have boots on the ground, and these guys, it's too easy for them to go to jail.
Well, you know, you mentioned you run commercials about the, I mean, rightfully so, about, you know, the fraud that takes place. But I mean, have you ever thought about maybe sometimes you got to scare people because you know people, I mean, you and I both have covered this, that will have fraudulent claims after a hurricane, which also cost taxpayers money.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you know, and that also, the efforts we'll go through to try to turn up the volume, and our team does such a great job, but the efforts that we'll go through also makes those folks have pause. You know, is what I'm doing really the juice worth the squeeze? So, I mean, and look, there's fraud that takes place every day. You know, look, I was in the restaurant business every single day. You know, it's hard to have 100% customer satisfaction. You just do the best to get to 100 every single day, and that's the same thing we do with fraud. We do everything we can to ensure fraud is at the smallest amount of complaints.
Hey, I love good quotes. You just gave me another one. Is the juice worth the squeeze?
Yeah. I mean, do you want to go to jail? Come on.
Is the juice? Oh, is that like an O.J. Simpson thing? Don't squeeze the juice? Anyway, I kid. Jamie Patron is the state chief financial officer, sir, the CFO here in the state of Florida. Go to myfloridacfo.com. Hey, thanks for coming on today.
Hey, thank you. And look, I'd be remiss if I did not thank all of our first responders. This past year, we hit a home run for those guys and getting them extra benefits they've been desperately needing with PTSD. And I just appreciate all of the sacrifice that those men and women came up to Tallahassee to testify to help make that a reality.
All right.
And thank you for everything you do.
All right, Jimmy P. I'll call him Jimmy P. Good to talk to you today. I always enjoy having him on. He's great, man. I want to go hit that restaurant. He owns a couple restaurants over in the The Panhandle.
Oh, really? What are the specialties? Are the
I don't specialties remember there? Specialties. I don't know. I got to find out the name of the restaurant first.
Okay.
43 minutes after the hour. Let's get some trivia. I got Ed Dean's money to give away. You ready for this? Who is the first president born as a U.S. citizen? Name me the first president who was born as a U.S. citizen. 222-TALK-222-8255, 43 minutes after the hour. Talk radio, WBOB.
And if you head into town on I-10 this morning, there's an accident at McDuff. We're seeing on the traffic cams it's causing a lot of backup this morning. Cloudy and breezy today with an afternoon high of about 64. This evening will be clear with an overnight low of 41. Right now it's 62 here at WBOB.
Mike Gallagher next. Dennis Prager at noon. The Savage Nation at 3. Mark Levin at 6. Right now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM. Talk Radio, WBOB.
And here are the top news stories we're bringing you this morning. Florida Governor Rick Scott signs an education bill that includes no free speech zones and tighter rules on teachers' unions. The National Rifle Association has filed a federal lawsuit to block the new Florida gun bill that raises the minimum age to buy rifles from 18 to 21. The NRA says it's unconstitutional. According to AAA, the average cost of a gallon of unleaded regular is about 25 cents more than this time last year, and the national average price could reach as high as $2.70 per gallon this spring. And the Florida State Senate passes an $88.7 billion budget for the upcoming fiscal year. The budget includes millions of dollars for new school safety measures and sales tax holidays.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed@wbob.com.
46 minutes after the hour, so let me give you a couple good trivia questions. Do not answer both of these together. If you do, you'll be disqualified. Separate questions. Separate answers. Got to make it fair and equal for everybody else out there. 222-TALK, 222-8255. So I've got plenty of money to give away. So name me the first president born as a U.S. citizen. Who was that president? And then here's another one, Roger. Name me the only president to serve two non-consecutive terms. Name me the president who served two non-consecutive terms. 222-TALK, 222-8255. So the economy continues to roar along as the GDP numbers as well, but the revised economic numbers have shown that not only are 235,000 jobs were they created, no, over 300,000 jobs were created in the month of February, but yet are the Democrats giving the president any credit? Allison Camerato from CNN was sitting down with Democrat Senator from Connecticut, Richard Blumenthal, and asked him that very question.
Very strong economy at home, obviously. Look at what's happening with the jobless numbers that will be out this morning and the stock market. Lowest corporate tax rate ever, and people on both sides said that they wanted to bring the corporate tax rate down. So why, from where you sit, I don't hear Democrats often giving the president credit for this. What gets in your way of giving him credit for some of these things?
There remain severe economic problems and challenges that we need to surmount. The problem of gun violence in our society remains without real action. Our health care system needs to be improved so that...
Okay, now remember the question was about the economy. That's what the question was about. Then he went off on another tangent.
People have access to real quality medical care and treatment.
Yeah, things
there remain
aren't perfect.
Challenges that
of course.
Need to be overcome.
But do you give him credit for those things that I just outlined?
I will give him partial credit for some of them. The economy, for example, is, with all due respect, the result of policies begun and sustained by President Obama.
Okay, so my question is, what are those policies that Obama laid out? I mean, if there's a fault, for example, W, and some of the things that happened with the economic crash back in 2008 and in the recession of 2009, what were those policies? Now, we can have a debate back and forth. You could say there was not enough government regulation. Some would say there's too much government regulation. Of course, the left would say the tax cuts. Okay, that's a credible conversation to have, whether you agree or disagree. My question is, what were the policies, and to the left out there listens to the show, I'm just kind of curious, what were the policies that Obama laid as a groundwork? I mean, 1.5% annual GDP growth that was in 2016 to 2.5, 2.6, almost 3% in 2017. So what were those foundations, Roger? I'm just kind of curious to find out.
Affordable Care Act. No, I'm kidding.
No, but you know, to your point, no, you bring an interesting point. You know that the Affordable Care Act was called the jobs maker. That was one of the biggest things that they argued, that you needed to expand Medicaid in Florida because it would have created, they say, the numbers didn't prove that, but they say it would have created 100,000 jobs.
I think even Obama was surprised he got reelected in his second term, because he was crying, saying, you know, he wasn't expecting it, basically. And I think more than anything else, the Affordable Care Act really hurt the economy.
Martha McCallum from The Story had Charles Payne from the Fox Business News Network talking about, well, come on. I mean, the Democrats say that, of course, the president, former President Obama, should get a lot of credit.
I had to go, but, you know, people say, oh, it's just President Obama laid the foundation for this. But I know the Wall Street Journal did a survey of 65-something economists and business leaders who said, no, actually, we actually attribute these gains to President Trump.
Economists know better, but in the American public, it may be swayed by the mainstream media. But I look at the data, and this optimism really took off in the last 3 months specifically. We really feel much more optimistic specifically in the last 3 months, and that's all President Trump.
One of the big questions, of course, the NRA is suing the state of Florida. Just came out over the weekend. It's amazing, as the news reports we played this morning, Roger, within 3 hours of the bill being signed, the NRA, bam, had the lawsuit ready to go.
Yeah.
Had the lawsuit ready to go. Here's the question we've been asking you this morning. Why is it unconstitutional? Now, we're not making a point. We're asking a question. Why is it unconstitutional to the state of Florida to raise the ages of 18 to 21 to buy a rifle? I want to know what you think. Why is it unconstitutional? Some people have given a pretty decent answer. I want to know what you think. 222-8255. So we've got two trivia questions out there. Name me the first president born as a U.S. citizen, and name me the only president. These are two separate questions, require two separate answers. If you give one answer, it's just for that answer. Don't include both of them there. And you could win Ed Dean's money. Some of you that have tried to sneak in, if you won within the last month, your name we've called, you cannot win again. So we give out, I give out generous gift cards every week. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Jim first. Jim, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning, Ed. How you doing today?
Hey, how you doing?
I would like to answer the first U.S. born president.
Yes.
I believe it was Van Buren, Martin Van Buren.
What was his first name?
Martin.
Well, we call him Marty from where I know him. Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, you got the answer correct. He was the Hey, by the way, I'll throw you an extra bonus if you can get this correct. Name me the first president born after 1900. I'll give you 5 seconds. If you get that, I'll guarantee you win.
No idea.
Okay. Now, again, I'm just, that's an interesting one there, but I think, okay, but stay on hold Roger's going to take your name and information. All right. 222-8255. Who you want to go with next? You want to go with Brandon? Was he next?
Yeah, let's go with Brandon.
Brandon, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning. Good morning. I wanted to answer the one with the non-consecutive for the president.
Yes, sir.
Is it Grover Cleveland?
It is Grover Cleveland. Now, Brandon, I'll guarantee. Now, we throw your name in the mix to win Ed Dean's money, but if you get my answer correct right now, I'll guarantee you'll be one of the winners. Name me the first president to be born after the first president of the 20th century to be born after 1900.
Oh, man. That's a hard one. I couldn't give you that one, buddy.
Okay, well, that's fine. I just did a little trick one, but stay on hold, and that's another winner for Win Ed Dean's money. 222-TALK, 222-8255, the email address, ed@wbob.com. Elizabeth Warren, remember, she's called Pocahontas by President Trump, was on this past Sunday on Fox News. John Roberts asked her the question, are you going to take a DNA test if you run for re-election or even run for president? Will you take a DNA test to show people that, as what you claim, that you have American heritage from the Cherokee Indian?
A moment here, if you would. There are many people who are saying, should you choose to run in 2020? And one of these groups is the Berkshire Eagle, Massachusetts newspaper that endorsed you in 2012, that the issue of your ancestry will come up. And they're suggesting that you put it to rest, saying, quote, that Elizabeth Warren should screw up her courage and take the spit test a DNA test, that a positive test would permanently resolve the issue while possibly shutting down President Trump. Would you be willing to take a DNA test to put this issue?
Okay, so the big question is whether or not she's going to run for 2020, big progressive liberal. I mean, besides spitting on people with her bills that she supports, I guess some would say, some of you have been emailing me that this morning. That was your comments. Maybe she should take a spit test. Here was her response, or lack of response.
I am not running for president in 2020.
Now, remember, the question was exactly, I mean, don't we get... I mean, both sides, do we not get ticked off when we ask a direct question, Roger, that we don't get at least a direct answer? The question is, will you take a DNA test? Listen to how she responded.
I know who I am because of what my mother and my father told me, what my grandmother and my grandfather told me, what all my aunts and uncles told me, and my brothers. It's a part of who I am, and no one's ever going to take that away.
So I didn't get an answer there. Again, remember, Roger, we all been told that we're, you know, some of our friends were bright and great and good looking by our parents. And you sit back and go, would you like to take a test on that? 222-TALK-222-8255. 55 minutes after the hour, talk radio, WBOB.
On the roads this morning, it is busy. Butler Boulevard going both directions. And if you're headed that way, plan on some tie up. Also, it's slow going into downtown I-10. There's an accident there earlier today at around McDuffie. Today, cloudy, cooler, and breezy with a high of 64. This evening, clear with a low of 41. Right now, 62 here at WBOB.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed@wbob.com.
Don't forget to download the site or just download the app to your smartphone. Go to WBOB.com, WBOB.com. Listen to any part of the show that you miss. Hanging out with us in hour number two is going to be a very well-known talk radio news broadcaster in the studios with us from South Florida. Our good friend Wayne Dillon is going to be hanging out. The NRA says that they're going to sue the state of Florida. One of the pressing questions, we had quite a few calls on some of the analysis, but why is it unconstitutional for the state of Florida to raise the age 18 to 21 to buy a rifle? Why is it unconstitutional? The Constitution is very silent on the ages of what you can purchase a weapon at. Want to know what you think? Give me the analysis. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Talk Radio WBOB.